It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff Jarvis, Leo Laporte, Gina Trapani, Jeff and I will fight over the Google Pixel. We'll talk about Babbel, the new chat service from Google, and Facebook Home, what we think of that new service from Facebook and why Google should really pay attention. It's all coming up next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 193, recorded April 10th, 2013. Pixel Pusher. This Week in Google is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a new mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting, pay for what you use, and you don't need a contract. It offers unlimited devices on a single pool plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit twig.ting.com. That's twig.ting.com. And by Hulu Plus. Watch as many TV shows as you want, anytime, anywhere on your devices, all streamed instantly to you. Visit HuluPlus.com/twit to start your free two-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/twit, or visit twit.tv and click the Hulu Plus banner. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, like affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to get $10 off at checkout. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, the show that covers Google, the cloud, the Googleverse. Gina Trapani is here from SmarterWare.org, the author of Think Up. Great to have you, Gina. She's an Android developer and the host of All About Android.
Great to be here.
Yay!
Favorite show of the week. Well, maybe I can't say that anymore.
No, you better not.
Equally favorite show of the
week. Jason Howell sitting right over there.
You
he's wearing headphones, but he's listening. Also here, Jeff Jarvis, who's home after his travels around the world.
I'm home in New York, yes. Yes, I am.
Home in New York. He is a professor of journalism at the City University of New York. He's also the author of Public Parts and other books. And joins us every week. His blog is buzzmachine.com. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
So I sent the Pixel back. I canceled my Pixel order. And Jeff says I'm wrong.
Well, I have a video showing
how
The Verge pops up on my Pixel.
And scrolls quite responsively.
And scrolls just dandy. Gina tried to tell you
YouTube.
It was your machine.
I'm just going to enjoy this going back and forth.
If there were more pixels, I could go see if there's a tiebreaker. But I don't. The next time I see somebody with a pixel,
well, it's Echo IO.
Boom!
See.
Look at that. There it goes. Big.
Well, you're moving. I might say you moved very genteelly into that.
Oh, jeez!
Oh.
You must have been
clearly
a real pain in the ass on a playground argument.
My only point is that, I don't care how The Verge scrolls, but my only point was that I was using it as an example. For that price, it should be a much faster, more responsive computer. It is not particularly responsive.
Very fast. Very fast. And it works just dandy for me.
After using it for a couple of days, I felt like, God, this is frustrating because it's just kind of not responsive. It feels a little jerky, a little...
But you got the wrong machine. That's what I'm telling you. Last week, your entire complaint was The Verge went up slowly, and it did on the video. And so I was...
You have your Pixel... Oh, you can't do it because you're in Skype.
I can't do it, right?
Yeah.
But I did it. As soon as I got home, I said, I'm going to record this for Leo. I sit down. I go to The Verge. Boom.
But you didn't have it full screen, so you weren't really testing it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no, that's germane because what you want to do is fill the pixels. The point is that my point was that the graphics card in that is insufficient for the number of pixels on the screen, which is true. But if you're not going to see that if you have a window, you have to go full screen on The Verge.
I don't want to be your roommate in the old folks' home.
No.
I think we should just have a Pixel throwdown at Google I.O. We'll get those sumo wrestler bouncy suits, you know, and you guys can just kind of go at it in the middle of Moscone.
I stand by review. It was not a broken Pixel. It's a lot of pixels to push. It's not at all surprising with Intel motherboard HD 4000 graphics that is too many pixels to push. You won't know until you put a very demanding full screen web page on there, but you will see it in day-to-day operations because It's a very high-res screen. Now, that's the advantage of this.
I've been using it for 3 weeks now, and I'm telling you, I don't.
You're a perfect person to own the Pixel, then, because you don't notice the difference.
Vance McAllister wrote a wonderful post on Google Plus. He wrote it actually as a comment on my post under that video.
Right, and I read that. Yeah,
the Adelio video.
Yeah.
And I asked him to make it a whole post so we could put it up there. It's very, very good. And he explores why this is so polarizing.
Well, I'll tell you why. You guys have Stockholm syndrome. You wasted your money on that, and now you have to justify why it's a good purchase.
No, I haven't received it yet. I'm still using the loaner machine.
It's not too late to cancel. Wait a minute. Actually, it is.
It's not too late. It's not too late. No, well. Right.
I was thrilled when I canceled it, was able to do so. Look, there are some real advantages. I won't deny it to Chrome OS. It's secure. If you're content to just run a browser and to do your email in the browser and everything in the browzer, it's fine.
That's what I do.
But it's an awful lot of money to pay for such a constrained machine when you could pay less for a full machine.
See, that's the thing. That's what Vance was saying, that there's this belief that the machines the way they were is the machines the way they should be, and that there's this belief that it's somehow limited. I'm on the web. The web works fine. You know, and I was thinking today.
Well, Jeff, I have to point out that you did install Linux on that, and you had to run Skype, which you're using right now.
For you only because of Microsoft. That's the only reason. And if you guys would get your act together and get WebRTC or Google Hangout, we'd be fine, which everybody says, why the heck isn't this show on Google Hangout?
Because it looks terrible.
Just say it.
Because it looks terrible. We could use Google Hangout, but it looks terrible. And it sounds worse.
I cannot remember.
So some people don't. So my point is, some people, it's like you telling me, I love Chef Boyardee. That's fine. Eat Chef Boyardee. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but it isn't necessarily great food.
Yeah, well, I like Armani suits, but I can tell you don't.
No, I don't.
Based on what you're wearing today.
I'm wearing, in fact, Lisa's going to kill me because it's a Tennessee Titans shirt.
Here's the other thing, Leo. I was thinking today, I cannot remember the last time that I thought, I've got to go buy myself some software. I don't buy software, right? The only reason to own a full OS is to install software on it. I don't do that. I haven't done that in years.
That's not true. For instance, I use the command line all the time on OS X. That doesn't mean I have to buy or install software, but I like to have the command line available to it. There's things that come on OS X, for instance, that I didn't buy but that I use. Go ahead and try to edit a movie on your Pixel. I've got iMovie on my Macintosh. It was free. It does a very credible job. Go ahead and try to do decent photo editing. Anything more than red eye removal on your Pixel, you can't. So
put things on there. Photos,
yeah, no. I tried them.
Video, I will concede.
Video, audio, and serious photo editing, Lightroom style photo editing are not possible. But that's something a lot of people do. It's not a weird thing that people do.
No, I'm not trying to say that everybody should buy the Pixel. But I also am trying to say that you're wrong in trying to say that this isn't a machine. This is the show about the cloud. People can live. The point of my doing this, for the sake of the show, I might add, was to live in the cloud, to really do it. La vida Google.
Yeah, but you admit it's an experiment. It's not.
No, it's not now. I'm saying
this is something you're gonna keep doing.
I invested $1,500 in it. I better.
That's a good point. See, I don't. I can understand buying a Chromebook for a school, a $250 Chromebook for a school. Chrome OS, I guess, if it's cheap, makes some sense. But you spent enough money on that laptop that you could have bought a really sophisticated tool.
Well, hey,
I think if Google sells a $500 better, I mean, admittedly, the Samsung is a netbook. I mean, it's kind of crappy too.
Yeah.
So I would love to see better hardware,
better price. But I think this keyboard is magnificent. I think the screen is magnificent. I'm happy with it, and I'm never going to buy a Windows machine. It ain't going to happen. Not. I can't get my head around it. So the only thing to buy is, do I buy another Mac? And I go back to what Gina said when we first had the discussion. My Macs have, you know, cruff on them. They slow down. They inevitably slow down. This thing doesn't. This thing is just worry-free. I live in the cloud. It's a high-end machine for that. If I want to live in Chrome, why should I be relegated
to absolutely not.
Bad machines?
You're right. If it does everything you want it to do. It's an awful lot of money to pay for such a limited thing, but
I'm not complaining about that, but I also think it's the best keyboard I've ever had. It's the best screen I've ever had.
Yeah, I was
had.
Not crazy about the keyboard. It's not a great keyboard. It's an okay keyboard. It's not a great trackpad. It's an okay trackpad. I like the aluminum. The screen is nice. The aspect ratio of 3:2 is a very strange choice. And while Google and everybody says, oh, yes, because images are 3:2, what they're really doing is we couldn't push more than that many pixels, so we had to make it a smaller display. Speakers rattle the keyboard. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Just rattle the keyboard?
Play it loud. I stand by my recommendation, but obviously there are some people who should get this machine. It's hard for me to think of a lot of them, but and you're maybe one.
But the reason Google did this, when I say something or when Vance said something, the Googlers would come in. The ones Google wanted a proof of concept of that Chrome as an operating system you can really just use.
Yeah,
and that's what this machine is there to do. Is there to prove a point? Not unlike Glass. Glass is going to be there to prove a point. I there was a video I didn't put on the rundown, but this video of Cops of The Verge, which I went to
you're so wrong on that post too, but go ahead, say it and I'll explain why you're completely wrong.
Which the Cops?
Yeah. You say, oh, the great thing about Google Glass is now cops will be taking pictures everywhere, which means they can no longer complain about you taking pictures.
Well, I'm saying in
not
theory,
so,
I know
by the way.
They'll always find a way to complain. Yes.
No, of course they will. You can't speed either. A cop can speed. Just because a cop could do something gives them no thought in their mind at all that now others should be able to do it. In fact, it means the police and government will have cameras, and they'll make damn sure that we don't.
I don't think they can get away with that.
And who's going to stop them?
Judges.
Oh, that'd be interesting. That will be interesting. Have judges said anything yet about the police who, you know, clearly illegally take cameras from people and prevent them from taking pictures?
Yes, huge case in Baltimore, huge case in Maryland.
Good.
And the good guys won.
Good. Well, I'd like to. That's good because they really. I mean, that does give us a weapon against police, which is why.
I was at an event last night about publicness and privacy, and the chief attorney at Hearst. You know, big deal attorney who's been working with a lot of newspaper cases, a lot of years. I didn't know this. I didn't know about it. Have you heard of this erasure statutes?
No.
I make fun of the EU for talking about a right to be forgotten. And these are state statutes. I don't know how many states they're in, 6 or 7. And where if you were arrested for something and the case is thrown out or you're acquitted, you know, if it's gone for any reason, you can then demand that it be erased, expunged, right? But not only that, but in some cases, they're coming back to the newspapers that have it in the archives and telling them they have to erase it there.
Really?
That's incredibly dangerous. I mean, that goes to the notion that you can try to erase knowledge. You're not allowed to know that anymore. And that's
unbelievably
offensive.
The newspapers, if they did their job properly, did not in any way say anything untrue.
Right, precisely. It's a fact this person was arrested. Now, the newspaper ideally should go back in and say, oh, and later on update this person
acquitted.
Was acquitted.
Yeah.
Fine. I would endorse that as an ethical way to behave. So now go to these videos, right? The way that Taser is selling these videos, that it was a video, I think it's still on The Verge, which, by the way, ran really fast on my Pixel.
yeah, I noticed that also. It was a flash issue.
It's so late. If I had to slow down the video.
I noticed that too, and I don't know what that was. I had the same problem. It's a flash issue.
So no, I was joking. These Mac people have no sense of humor, you know?
I had that problem.
You understand?
Flash video played back wrong. No, flash video played back wrong. It was
just making a joke. Jesus.
Right. Wait. So let Jeff finish. So what about The Verge?
Okay.
Okay, so The Verge had this thing about cop videos. It's a product from Taser. And the cop wears the camera, and it always records. It always has in buffer the last 30 seconds. Cop hits record. And then it starts recording on. And then at the end of the day, they put it in the recharging station. The entire video goes up to Taser headquarters, where they say that the cop can't erase any part of it. I don't fully, I'm getting this ways around this. But they're saying that the video as a whole is there. Now they can then pull out parts and it's in their control, but then it's discoverable by defense, which I think is really interesting. But I didn't mean to get off in this side thing. And poor Gina has been sitting there mute, watching the parade go by.
There were several people in the chat room calling for me to sort of break the tie. Here's the thing. I haven't tried a Pixel.
You gotta have one first.
I gotta have one in order to review it. I mean, I have to tell you, like, Leo reviews tons of computers every day, so it's hard for me not to trust his evaluation. And Jeff, you know, is coming from a low-powered, you know, the low
power. It's definitely better than the Samsung. I'll give you that.
It's better than the Samsung,
oh, yeah.
Right? And,
like, yeah, but I have Macs, too.
Yeah, right. You had a Max, but you had sort of committed to living, you know, in Chrome OS. So I think the Pixel was a huge upgrade. I mean, it looks like a nice computer, but I'm sort of, you know,
I can tell you right now, you wouldn't spend $1,600 on that computer.
Well, I'm cheap too. I mean,
I'm not arguing with that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was my job is to tell people whether or not to spend $1,600 on that computer, and my answer is no.
My job is also to talk about theory. You know,
right. Yeah, but you have a different job than I do. Wow. So when I'm reviewing a piece of hardware, fundamentally what I'm saying is this worth the buying or not? And fundamentally, it's not.
Right, but fundamentally in this show, we talk about whether
that's a different matter.
It's coming of age and whether it's you know, is this just a Bitcoin-like trend and fad, or is this something real that people can really live in? And that's what I think the point is. And before, the point of Vance's piece was before, if you wanted to live in the cloud, you were relegated to a tinny, cheap machine.
Right. You're going to have the philosophical discussion about the cloud, there are other issues that I think are more important, such as what happens when you're offline, what happens if the cloud is down. It goes back to the old days, the bad old days, in my opinion, of thin clients, when your computer wasn't a computer, it was a terminal to somebody else's computer.
Right. And I think the mainframe is down, everyone's dead.
The real advantage of the personal computing revolution was one CPU per user. And I think that is something that I'd hate to see us backsliding on.
But I think these
companies like it because they can make more money that way.
Yeah, they control more. But I have my Docs and I have my Gmail on the plane. And that works fine. And that's limited, I will admit. But if you write more native apps for Chrome, that's the problem with Evernote is it's not native, so it didn't save locally, but it could be. So more native apps written for Chrome will work fine offline.
I flew home from New York and I was in JFK, kind of, you know, everything plugged in and like quickly downloading, you know, I had offline Gmail. So you have to kind of launch offline Gmail, for example, and say, okay, sync all my stuff. And I had Google Play Music up on my Android phone, and I was like, oh, let me pull down the music that I want to listen to while I was on the plane, and they were boarding, and I was like, oh, you know, hurry up. So you do have to kind of do that sync, right?
That's all very fixable. And the truth is that I keep offline Gmail open all the time because I have two Gmail accounts, and the damn Chrome gets confused between them.
So you use offline Gmail all the time, even when you're online.
For my second account, for my university account.
Gotcha.
Right? So it's up anyway. It's downloading anyway. I have Drive open anyway, so pretty much I've screwed up once.
Right, so, and the Drive app works the same way, right? So you use the offline Drive app, and it syncs similar to Gmail.
Syncing, that's syncing on its own constantly. Yeah.
And it's no accident they give you 12 complimentary logons to Go Internet.
Doesn't do me any good on United.
You got to fly Virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think US Air have it as well?
Some others do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why they give you that, right? Because really, it works better when it's online.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the part of the point too that they're trying to make. Is so does the world.
Yeah.
Right. Why are they doing? Why are they doing gigabit internet in Kansas City and Austin? Damn them.
Well, it's we're going to talk about that.
The point.
It's an interesting point. It actually is relevant to the other big announcement this week, which was Facebook Home. I mean, it's pretty clear that Google and Facebook kind of have the same goal, which is to get you to give them as much of your data as possible. Living in the cloud is great for Google because it means everything you do transfers through Google servers.
Yep.
And so I would submit they have a very strong vested interest. And I think that kind of brings into question their motivation. You know, they may say, oh, no, it's just better when in fact it's better for our business. Is it really better for users? I don't think so.
Eric Schmidt has said straight out the business model for Google is extremely simple. The more we use the internet, the more they make, period.
Right.
So it's not just about being in the cloud. It's just using the internet.
Well, yeah, but the more data we give them, the better it is for them as well.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But it's also good for me. I'm still
Well, but that's my question. Is it good for you? And I think that it's good for you until the cloud goes down or you have some problem. Now, there are some real advantages. It's more secure. You can change computers and everything's still there. I love it on Android because if I get a new Android phone, I don't have to worry about it. I just log in and boom, it's all there.
The collaboration is the thing for me. Yeah. I mean, you can collaborate with other people. You can, I mean, I have hard drives full of old pictures and documents and things that I back up on my own. But honestly, if I, you know, if my business partner and I have to get something done, we fire up Google Drive, right? I mean, that's it's just the, you know, it's the convenience versus security.
I just say it's nice to have the choice, though, right? That's the point.
Yeah.
And what what Google's saying is, no, you don't need a choice. Just use our stuff.
Well, I got tons of choice. I got all kinds of stuff.
No, you don't.
May I remind you, sir, you who denigrate the cloud, shall we remember the days of the blue screen of death?
No, I love the cloud.
It's not over.
I am not denigrating the cloud. I love the cloud. Just as Gina said, there's all of the work we do on these shows is done on Google Docs. Our rundowns, as you know. We love the cloud. There's nothing wrong with it. I just want choice. I don't want to be forced to use the cloud. And we fought long and hard to get this choice. I just want to point out.
I also fought long and hard to get away from the hegemony of hugely expensive software from Microsoft and Apple. And I'm freed from that now.
That's an interesting way to put it.
That's interesting. I mean, when I did my first book draft, you know, my editor was like, "Oh, we use Word," and I was like, "Oh, I don't
want to use that.
I didn't have a license, and I was a freelance blogger making $12 a post. I couldn't afford Microsoft Office. I had to find, you know, I had to go about it. But
you used OpenOffice, right? LibreOffice.
Yeah, you could use OpenOffice, but of course, my book publisher had these elaborate templates that didn't quite revision tracking, and it didn't quite work with OpenOffice. Yeah. You know, as well as it should have. Anyway, and you know, obviously I just hated it because I'm a programmer, so Word is the worst. You know, I just want to work in a text editor.
Every publisher still does this. I don't understand why.
Oh, I know. I know, it's really hard. This is why I don't write books anymore.
Steve Baker, who wrote Numeracy and the Jeopardy book, said he used Docs for his publisher. I was surprised at that.
Really? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this was years ago. Now Docs actually does have, Drive has pretty good Word document support. Right. You can export to Word. And I'm not sure how it does with templates, but things are better.
Yeah, that's the only issue I have left. I've got to do a letter for one of my students. I've got to do one of those immigration letters. So I have to do it on letterhead. Pay in the butt, you know, fine. But it's...
Do you have a regular computer? I mean...
Sure, I've got a Mac next to me. I mean, I have a Mac.
And do you ever use it? I mean, if you really wanted to do this right, you should get rid of that.
I basically don't. I use the Mac at home. My Mac at home now is basically my Google Cloud Print machine.
Yeah. Cloud Print's great. Love Cloud Print.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. The one in the office, I took it out today... for the first time out of my drawer in 3 weeks.
I accept the premise of, what's the guy's name who commented on your blog?
Vance McAllister.
I accept Vance's premise that for some people, simpler is better. That generally, though, is an attitude that is espoused not by the people themselves, but by the people who administer them, ITs, professionals, school administrators who don't want to give kids any power
at all.
That's
the control argument.
They want to control it.
There's also an elegance argument. And I think Vance is making more the elegance argument that I don't need more. I want this. This works. And why should I be relegated to the bad hardware? Why are you getting so emotional about this?
You shouldn't be relegated to bad hardware. And part of my argument was it should be better hardware for that price. Frankly, there's USB 2 is unaccountable.
That's a ridiculous one. Yes,
it's unaccountable.
I think we're also extremely early in the life. But so Chrome is an OS.
Right.
Is a year and a half old.
Understand, a negative review about a particular product is only about this snapshot in time. It may get better. It may be a better product coming down the road. I'm not reviewing the prospects of Google OS. I'm saying don't buy the Pixel.
No, I get that, but I'm loving the machine. I just plain
love
it.
I'm glad you like it. That's good.
You know, Leo, your point about having a choice, though, I think is a good one. How does that choice reconcile itself, though? You know, like what could Google do to make that choice, you know, actually viable?
Well, Android's a really good example of huge amount of choice. And I'm doing a very interesting experiment with my 80-year-old mother who's staying with me for the month. And she had a feature phone, terrible feature phone, which she couldn't use. So I gave her my Galaxy Note 2. And now I know what's going to end up happening, which is she's going to end up with my iPhone. but I'm giving it a shot. And I put, now there's a Samsung has a simple finder, which is, you know, considerably less complicated. And she's going through, there's a lot of tutorials and pop-ups of how to do this and that. And I'm watching with great interest to see. Now, there's an example of a platform that gives you plenty of choice, much more so even than an iPad or an iPhone. But it may be that that's going to throw her for a loop. It's not easy to use.
So what phone are you using now?
Well, I'm stuck with an iPhone until my HTC One comes next week.
Are you going to install Facebook Home?
Oh, of course. Now, I've learned a very sad thing, and I'm disappointed to hear this. And Renee Ritchie of iMore was telling me this, that the Facebook Home that comes with the HTC First and other phones, presumably, that should come along, designed with a Facebook Home on top of it, have more capability than just downloading the launcher. So when we download the launcher and put it on our Android phones, our Galaxies or our HTCs, it will not be the full Facebook Home.
Yeah, there was something about in their privacy statement. They said there was a distinction between the what was going to be installed on the first and what you get in the Play Store, which I thought was interesting. I guess I think it was something about how the version installed on the first would be able to tell what apps were giving notifications. Yeah. That kind of tipped me off, like, oh, that's a different APK then.
Yeah,
right. This is going to be a different thing.
They're really doing. It's more like HTC. It's more like a modified HTC Sense. They're really doing a carrier modification on top, not just a new launcher.
Right.
And what are you missing exactly?
I'm not sure what from a user perspective, feature wise, I'm not sure what's missing. There was people ask questions about privacy. You know, what information is Facebook Home transmitting back to Facebook? And then there was a bit in the bullet point. We covered it last night, all about Android. It said that the Facebook Home on the first is aware of the notifications that other apps are generating because, you know, part of Facebook Home is the redesigned notifications, and it knows what apps are generating those notifications, but the one in the Play Store does not. So that made me go, this sounds like this is actually two different builds.
But I don't want the first, unfortunately, because it's kind of a crappy Android phone.
You definitely want the one.
Now, it's conceivable HTC might offer a specialized version of Facebook Home on the one, since it's an HTC product. So we'll see. This comes out April 12th. I want to talk about Facebook Home. We haven't had a chance to with you guys, and I'm sure there's lots that you have to say about it. So let's do that in just a second. What do you say? We're talking about Google, the cloud, the Pixel, the Q, Chrome OS, and more. You know what? We shouldn't all agree about everything all the time.
The audience loves it. Penny T in Twitter just says that she loves watching us argue.
Actually,
it makes
a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Mom and dad or dad and dad are arguing.
They go, don't argue. Don't argue. Jeff and I love each other. It's okay.
Yes, we do.
Mom and daddy love each other.
Hug.
Everything's cool. I'm simultaneously amused and made uncomfortable. I think more amused than uncomfortable.
It's a little uncomfortable. I don't want to disagree with Jeff.
You gave me pause, Leo. I mean, I thought and I said, you know, is Leo right? Am I crazy here? Should I cancel this order? And then I decided, no.
No, I don't want you to. I don't want you to. I was very relieved, though. I can put that $1,600 to such good use. Maybe, perhaps, to a new phone from Ting.com. This is what I should have given Mom. Would have saved me some money. Maybe I will. I want you to visit twig.ting.com. Ting is an MVNO. Do you know what that is? It's a mobile virtual network reseller, mobile virtual network operator, I guess the O stands for. They resell Sprint. And, don't tell Sprint, but they're a better phone company. So for some reason, Sprint doesn't seem to mind this, and I'm not sure. I guess they figure, hey, more customers, what could possibly go wrong? But I got to tell you, Ting's got it right. In fact, the whole idea was Ting wanted to create a no BS mobile service. So there's no contract. It's month to month. I mean, T-Mobile's kind of making noises about doing this. Ting's really doing it. No early termination fees. So you're contract-free. There's no bundling or ride-along services. You choose the service level you want. If you use more, you pay at the standard rate. You don't pay a penalty. If you use less, they rebate the difference. That is unheard of. You get credits for unused service. There are no add-on charges for voicemail, picture and video messaging, three-way calling, caller ID, and here's the best part, tethering and hotspotting. Not only encouraged, you pay nothing extra. It's built in. So go to twig.ting.com, take a look at the monthly plans, and I'll show you how this works. This is great for families or small businesses where you're going to have multiple phones. You don't have to, but each phone is $6 a month. So let's get four. Let's have a family of four. In fact, I'll use my family as an example. Four phones. We currently have on AT&T, I think, a 1,400-minute plan. We don't use it. I'll use 1,000 minutes. We do have unlimited text messages. 2,000 is plenty. And I'm going to use all the data I can afford. So four phones, 3 gigabytes of data, 2,000 text messages, and 1,000 shared minutes a month. The whole thing for a family of four on AT&T is well over $300. On Ting, the whole thing, family of four, $110 a month. $110 a month for four people, not each, total. You got to go here, do the savings calculator, just bring your phone bill and see how much you'd save for exactly the same kind of service. Now, there are some differences. For instance, you buy the phone. Now, Ting, we're going to show you how you can get a little rebate on the phone, but Ting has all the great Android phones available, including the Galaxy Note 2, which I would recommend. I happen to love that phone. You also can choose from standard feature phones. They even have data devices like the Sierra Overdrive Pro. So that's like a, you know, a Wi-Fi access spot powered by Sprint and their 4G through Ting. So pick the phone you want. They have a new phone marketplace, but also a used marketplace, which can save you a considerable amount of money. And when you buy, by the way, I want you to go to twig.ting.com and you'll save $25 on your first Ting device. So you get the device, then you activate it through Ting. They have a fantastic dashboard that tells you exactly what you've used, who's using what. I mean, the Ting dashboard, you've never seen anything so great. This is data-driven. It's just so fantastic. There's never any mysterious line items on the phone. You can have unlimited devices on a single plan, sharing the data, sharing the text and the minutes. Really can take control of your cat. I love the tech support. This is Two Cows does this, and they've really nailed support. For instance, they empower their support representatives to handle your problem. So if you call their support number, 1-855-TING-FTW, anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern time, you'll get a real person. They won't put you on hold. They can fix the problem. They also have great help. Active customer forums, a very simple help ticketing system, video tutorials, startup guides. This is the way to do it. I want you to try it. Twig.ting.com. Save $25 on your first device. You're going to like it. Twig.ting.com. All right. Facebook Home. We saw the announcement on Thursday, almost a week ago now. Every show's had a chance to talk about it, except this. So right, I'm going to give you a chance. You know what's interesting, though, as time's gone by, people like to see MG Siegler, who is such an iPhone bigot, on TechCrunch say, I actually like this. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. The UI looks really nice. I have to say, just judging totally just from seeing the announcement, I have not actually tried Home yet. In fact, I don't think I'm going to be able to because it's not going to run on my Galaxy Nexus. It only runs on certain phones.
The 4, it would run on the 4, wouldn't it?
The Nexus 4, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Will it? Or I thought
they said it was... There was a version out, but only briefly. Then they shut down the server.
Yeah, there was a pre-release. But I think it'll run on the 4 when it comes out. No?
Okay.
No. Galaxy S3, yes, I think. Galaxy Note, yes. So the idea is it's basically, I think, Gina, looks like a new launcher, right?
Yeah, it's a new launcher, exactly. And I think that sort of, like, philosophy-wise and strategically, they're going in the right direction. I like the idea of kind of putting people first, not apps. That was kind of one of the things they kept saying, Zuck kept saying during the presentation. The idea that your phone is a messaging device, you want to connect with people, that makes a lot of sense. I'm really glad that they didn't go the Kindle Fire route, right?
Yes.
That they didn't fork Android, that they didn't issue a whole new device, that they didn't come up with their own app store, that they're not trying to lock everybody into the Facebook, you know, ecosystem. They're playing nice with Google. They were actually very complimentary toward Google and Google's commitment to openness on Android. I love that a company as big as Facebook that's so good at making web services. I mean, regardless of how you feel about Facebook, the product, like, Facebook makes a great service that a billion people use. I love that they're developing something this interesting and forward-thinking on Android first, right? We always kind of complain about how
Gina,
great apps come out
question?
iOS first. Yeah, yeah.
But in the stories that I've read, people are saying, oh, man, this hurts Google because you don't get to search. The search is still there. Everything from Google is still there on the phone, right?
As Danny Sullivan pointed it out, it's two clicks deep, though, now. Instead of being on the front page, you know, used on a stock Android phone, Google search is front and center on every page.
Right, but if I want to search the web, I ain't using Facebook.
No, no, you won't be. You'll use Google. But
so
you have to click a couple of times.
So yeah. I don't see that Google really hurts.
Right.
You can put Google. This is the thing. The Play Store, Maps, YouTube, all of Google's sort of flagship, you know, all their great proprietary apps are on this phone, right? So this is not a Facebook phone. And, you know, obviously when you get it from the Play Store, it's just a launcher app. I'm just excited to see a big company like Facebook make a launcher, right? So far, we've only seen kind of indie developers make launchers, some great launchers. And we've also seen companies like HTC, you know, come up with new sort of UIs, like the Sense UI, right? But I'm excited to see this. Like, and then we've seen Amazon do the Kindle, which is, you know, a completely separate thing, right, which doesn't have the Play Store or the other Google apps. I'm excited to see Facebook go, you know what, we're not trying to take over Android. We want to put a layer on top of the phone, which Android allows and encourages, and this has already been done by you know, small indie developers, but we're going to make this brand new experience. I think it's great for Android. I'm excited. I think it sets a precedent for other companies who want to do work on Android. I think it's kind of a new way to work with Android. That all said, I question the implementation. Now, I haven't tried it myself yet, but there are some things that I'm not so thrilled about. A cover feed, not so thrilled about.
The lock screen, right?
That's the lock screen.
Whenever
you
look at your phone, and this is it right now. If you're watching the video, you see full screen pictures of your friends. You see the chat heads. If you're chatting with somebody, their head is persistent, will stay there. You tap it to chat.
I like chat heads, actually.
I do too.
Like chat heads. Yeah, I think chat heads makes a lot of sense. And I'm dying for unified messaging service. I want Google Babble now. I'm hoping that the Google Voice team was watching the Zuck announcement.
Yeah, because Babble does not have voice in it, right?
I know. It sounds like Babble.
Everything
will not
but
have voice
they say it will.
Initially.
They say it
right.
will.
Hangouts, talk messenger.
So
but
here's
the idea that you just send a message to a person. It doesn't matter if it goes through their phone number, through their Facebook account, through their talk account, through their messenger account, whatever. I just want to talk to Leo. However it needs to go, you take care of it for me.
And that's what ChatHeads does, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it puts faces front and center, which is really nice. That's good UI, right? This is about people. Technology is about connecting people. Zuck is absolutely right about that. I think your phone is absolutely right about that. So I like that a lot. So the one thing about the presentation I didn't love is that, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, they kind of set up this like false dichotomy of this grid of icons, you know, app icons that have little red badges, right? Which is the iOS experience. You know, here's the icons you can go into and you have to tap through these icons to get information. And he's saying this is a whole new experience on Android. And, you know, my home screen doesn't look like that. I don't tap through apps to get information. I'm a power user, but I've got widgets set up on my home screen and on my lock screen. I look at my phone and I see data. And there are plenty of widgets, social widgets, that lots of companies come out. Granted, they've been pretty crappy up until now. But if I wanted to see my stream of Facebook updates or Foursquare check-ins or Twitter updates, I can do that in a widget on Android. So, you know, of course, Zuck was making it sound like they were doing something so new and innovative. but he was sort of saying, comparing iOS to Facebook Home, which you know, kind of two different things. I think Android allows this. But the reality is that people don't change their default widgets, right? Like this phone's going to ship with Facebook Home. You can choose between, you know, Home and your regular launcher. You can turn it off at any time. So this is, I think, it looks like a nice experience so far. Again,
not so sure about
cover feed. I would say, you know, I syndicate my tweets to Facebook. I interact with Twitter first and Facebook is kind of my secondary check-in place. So I would say I'm a low to moderate user.
MG observed that he used Facebook a whole lot more just because it was very easy. And
just
of course, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the question. I'm hoping that Google looks at this and says, well, we should do this with Babble and Google Plus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Google had started to do this a little bit, right? When the Nexus 7 shipped, remember the widget on the front page of the Nexus 7, which is clearly sort of a media consumption device? I mean, the Nexus 7 is all about go to the Play Store, buy movies, music, and books. And do you remember the kind of it shipped with it wasn't the default Android home screen, right? I killed it immediately. I killed it immediately too, but most people aren't going to do that. They're like, oh, this is the thing that's on my home screen, right? I would love to see Google sort of put out a Google Power User launcher app. I mean, this is the thing that I'm excited about Home. It's like, oh, cool. Like, I want to see more companies, put out awesome launchers that are sort of service-centric. I mean, the problem is I use lots of different services, though. So
you
I like
only
to customize.
Use one launcher. That becomes an issue then.
Yes, exactly.
Well, then, but I would use, you know, look, if Google, you want us to use Google Plus more, and I know you do, this is a way to do it. And just steal it. Just
I'm sure they will.
Point
sure they will.
By point, they did a beautiful design. I mean, everybody agrees this is gorgeous looking.
Yeah, Facebook makes good products.
Point for point, steal this design, just hook it up with Google Plus, and you know what? Be nice. Make Facebook part of it. Make Twitter part of it.
Yes.
Make
yes.
everything a part
that
of it.
That would be the brilliant thing.
Exactly.
And then, or, if you had the choice, you're going to use the Facebook only one and the Google Plus one.
Mm-hmm. Well, would Twitter let them? I mean, Twitter cut them off from the hose for search.
But you can still post to Twitter, right?
Yeah, I mean, assume you have the Twitter app installed and it's checking Twitter every 15 minutes.
You hook into the Twitter app, right?
Somehow I think Twitter is not going to play nice. They're going to say that that's a client.
Yeah, Twitter's been, well, that's true. That is true.
Right, Lucy, explain Babbel to me.
Yeah, no, I do notice that there's no mention of Twitter in any of this Facebook Home collateral, is there? They want it to replace. Well, you know what? This could eliminate Twitter. Let's use Google Plus.
The only mention of Twitter, it was at the far right of the graph, the ComScore graph of a graph of where people spend their social time on their phones.
Right.
Which I got to say rang totally untrue from my subjective experience.
No, but for real people,
it's kind of fishy to me. I don't know.
No, look at Twitter, you can see it. You can see. I mean, that's all the you know, if you look at the main feed on Twitter, you can just tell it's people spewing crap from their phones. Constant crap.
So should we talk about Babbel?
Yeah, I'm excited about Babbel.
The Babbel team. So Chatheads is the thing about Facebook Home that I was sort of like, yes, I like that. I like the idea that someone's face who's messaging me pops up above in a layer above what I'm doing. Right. Because right now the experience is someone sends me a message on Android. It pops up in the shade. I can see the text of it sort of roll over, you know, in the notification bar, and then I have to stop what I'm doing, pull down the shade, look at the notification, and then maybe tap on the notification to launch the app and then respond, right? It's a lot of tapping and pulling and interaction, right? With Chatheads, it just pops up. Love that. And it's a face, and you don't have to know the details. Am I going into Google Voice? Am I going into messaging? Am I going to Google Talk? I don't have to know. I don't want to know. That I really like the people, not apps approach first. And I really hope that the Babbel team was taking copious notes.
I hope we don't have to pronounce it Babbel, by the way.
Yeah, that's
it's
that's
spelled
true.
Babbel.
It is spelled Babbel. You're right.
It's spelled Babbel.
It's like,
what's the schedule for it? We know?
No, because Google said nothing about this.
Yeah, this is all sort of rumor and conjecture, isn't it? And leaks. Let's see. Droid Life had there was a memo leaked, it appears.
There's screenshots, there's memo leaks. Apparently they launched Babbel by accident on some people's machines and they pulled it back. You know, if you look up in Gmail, apparently some people are saying that you'll get all conversations have been moved to the trash because you're now you're a Babbel chat user, these messages are still available. In Babbel or Babbel. I hope we don't have to say Babbel. Can we just call it Babbel?
Let's just call it Babbel. People
shall decide.
I think it's because the Googlers read more Douglas Adams than they do read the Bible, and they don't understand that Tower of Babel was not a good thing. The Babbel fish is a good thing, but they're two different kinds of things.
I'm GIF, you?
Well, we know because the guy who invented the thing said how to pronounce it, and I think he said GIF. I can't remember now.
But I don't care. That's the point. I don't care.
Who cares? Yeah. But Google will have a canonical pronunciation, won't they? They'll tell us how to pronounce it.
When they talk about it, I.O., yes, it'll be
Larry
clear.
Page will say it's Babbel. Well, actually, maybe they could split the baby, another reference to ancient history, and just spell it Babbel, but pronounce it Babbel.
Babbel, yeah. And that's what I hope for. I wonder if they're going to hold out on this until I.O. We've still got some time until I.O.
You know, looking at the screenshots, I have to say it looks very ugly and googly, very flat.
It does.
Instead of using Apple-style emojis, which are not Apple's, they're a standard, they use their own emojis. I don't know. I'm not crazy about these screenshots, but maybe they're just the original. But this is the new look, isn't it? Everything's square and no gradients.
Well, there's an argument that if we want to see the future of Android design, we should look at the new Play Store.
Yeah,
on my machine yet.
Yeah, I almost never do this now, but I grabbed the APK, the sort of leaked APK, and installed it because I couldn't wait to see the Play Store.
Oh, so it's not out yet? I won't have it yet on my Android phone?
Oh, it's rolling out.
Yeah, it's rolling out.
I gave my mom my Galaxy Note too soon, apparently.
I'd love to call her up. Hey, Mom, would you get the APK for the Play Store on the machine just to show you so I can see it?
It'd be a good challenge.
Then show it to me on Skype, okay?
Sideload the APK, Mom.
Wait. Leo, you know that David Letterman did wonderful things with his mother on the show. Have you ever had your mother on the show?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. She says she's gonna come in. I don't know. She's been putting it off. She's been here 2 weeks. I think she'll be on the next Twig.
That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
She loves this show. She watches this show. That Jeff Jarvis is such a nice boy.
No, that's not what she says. We know that. No. That Gina Trapani is such a nice girl.
She says that that Gina's a nice girl, but why does Jeff keep fighting with you? No, she doesn't say that.
Because he's wrong, Mrs. Laporte. Your son is wrong.
My son is never wrong, Mr. Jarvis. No, she actually is a fan of yours back from the San Francisco Chronicle days. She knows who you are.
Jesus.
So she watches with great interest.
Well, we got to have her on the show, yeah.
So I think Babbel will be it's going to be a unified chat service. It will tie into Google Plus, Google Hangouts, Google Now.
Be nice
to get notifications.
It would be nice to get notifications through Now.
Yeah. But
Talk,
not
Hangouts and Messenger.
Apparently not voice yet, although
voice. Boy. I'm worried about
voice. We fear that Google might give up voice. That's one of the fears out there.
Why would they give up voice?
I'm worried about voice. With all the spring cleaning going on, with now that Reader is out, I feel like voice might be... Voice, I think, is right on that line. It just doesn't feel like they do a whole lot with voice.
They haven't updated voice in ages. And now some guy named Ken is answering my voice number. There's some sort of crossed wires.
Oh, really?
So how does this tie in? So is the WhatsApp. Is that basically what
they didn't buy WhatsApp. They were thinking about buying WhatsApp, maybe, but the WhatsApp guy said no.
But is that basically what Babbel is?
Well, WhatsApp
is a closed universe. So you can only chat with people using WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp runs on every platform, not desktop, but it runs on every mobile platform. But it's WhatsApp to WhatsApp. It's like Beluga, which Facebook
bought. To SMS.
No. It's an SMS replacement.
It's what teenagers get when they run out of text that month, or they have an iPod Touch, or, it's for kids. Yeah.
The closest thing to Babbel is Apple's Messages.
Right.
Messages will send it via text, but prefers to send it via internet if it can. And if you're messaging an iPhone or an iPad, it will do it that way. And it does have a desktop component, but Messages is bad because it's only iOS and OS X. So the dream, of course, is to have something that supports all protocols. Google could totally
And also
do this.
To cut around. Of course, these days, everybody gets unlimited voice and unlimited text in plans, I think. I don't think text is a big issue anymore, is it? If you're 12 years old, is it?
It might be. But I think, I pay $20 a month for a family unlimited text plan on AT&T.
It's de minimis now.
Yeah. I use WhatsApp. I like WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. It's rich. And it's better than MMS for sending video, audio, and pictures.
Audio, so who pictures, do you know who's in it?
I have a handful of friends who use it. That's part of the problem. You have to be using WhatsApp. A lot of people use WhatsApp. It's very popular. It's huge.
Yeah, I used
Were
it
you
for
ever
a
BBM?
Spell.
Pardon me?
Were you ever BBM?
Yeah, when I used a BlackBerry, I used BBM. BBM's great, but again, only works with BlackBerry.
With BlackBerry.
This is why there's a huge opportunity.
There is.
And Facebook, is there. I mean, that's what Facebook Home does. You don't have to pay attention to what protocol you're using. Your friend, now, everybody, the presumption is everybody's using Facebook. What happens to Facebook Home if somebody's not on Facebook? They don't exist, right?
Well, no. I mean, they should be in your contacts, right? And from what it looked like, chat heads integrated with Android's messaging, like SMS app, right? So in theory, if you're not on Facebook, Leo, but you send me a text message, in theory, like, that should pop up. I probably wouldn't have your avatar, right?
Wouldn't be as cool, but it would work.
Empty bubble, but it should work the same way that the other ones.
They take over notifications too, which I'm not sure I'm crazy about. I actually love Android notifications.
Yeah, I didn't love how Zuck was like, oh, you know, if you get a notification for a friend, you don't really want to interact with her right now. You just throw her away.
That was cool. Like, are you kidding? I love that.
No, I mean, I love the functionality. I just thought it was weird that he said you could just throw her, like throwing
throw
your friends
her
away.
I don't want to do that anymore.
Versus just being like, just swipe it away for later. It just seemed like a weird.
Well, Google Now does that too, by the way. When I get birthday announcements from my Google Plus people I've never met, I just.
Yeah, you can swipe it away.
That's kind of the same thing. Same satisfaction.
So I searched for, I was looking for directions somewhere on my computer. Apparently, this has been out on Google Now for a while, and I just hadn't seen this. I searched for Palm Springs on my laptop, and then a few hours later, I picked up my phone and looked at it, and Google Now said, hey, 2 hours to Palm Springs, light traffic.
I know, isn't that great?
I was like, great. I was like, why is it telling me that? Oh, right, I searched for this. Like, I'm really seeing the integration now with Now.
And you know what would make me buy a Pixel?
What? Google Now?
Google Now in Chrome on the
Pixel. Oh, that's coming. That's definitely coming.
Oh, yeah, that's
coming.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that.
Mark that chat room. I would put that in history books. Mark that word. When that happens, he has to buy a Pixel.
The chat room's saying that is the difference between the HTC First and the download version of Facebook Home. And, in fact, it does say that on the webpage. All notifications are available on the HTC First. The free home download includes Facebook notifications only.
Ah, okay.
And
okay,
that makes sense. They can't hook into notifications.
Is that a technical limitation?
Pardon me?
That's a technical limitation. That's a technical limitation.
Yes.
Okay. So explain that to me, Lucy. Why?
You would have to take the Android code and hook into it, right, Gina? That's what they do with TouchWiz or Blur or HTC's Sense. They hook into it more deeply than a launcher can.
Right, right. That sounds more kind of like a skin, right, than a launcher. Yeah, yeah. So the skin can take over notifications, but the launcher cannot.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I know that sounds kind of vague. I haven't done a whole lot with notifications, but it sounds like because they're shipping. Because the First doesn't come with Sense, right? It's just Home. And then you can, I guess, switch back to the vanilla launcher, the vanilla Android launcher,
right?
If you want it on First,
right? Yeah,
so
you can go back and forth.
It sounds like Home is a little bit of an integration with Sense.
Exactly, you can still remove it, I believe.
Hmm. Hmm.
I think this looks beautiful. I just want this would get me back on Google Plus, big time. If it were so easy to use, it were so integrated, I'd start using it instead of Twitter.
Yeah.
I would get involved in the chat, the Hangouts. I think Google's got to be thinking
Google Plus
that.
Is, it's not good for some things, right? When the big news event is going on, you're going to Twitter, you're not going to Google Plus.
But that's a critical mass issue, isn't it?
It's a form issue.
It's a style issue, okay.
It's also the form of the thing. You can have your post could be around 3 hours later, and somebody comments on it and comes back. And they got rid of the original problem, remember back, the early days of Google Plus, was it was Scoble.
Right.
Every time somebody commented on Scoble, it came back up. It was Scoble hell.
Right.
love you, Robert, but...
No.
He
knows perfectly well what you're talking about.
Right, so they fixed that.
Yeah.
Right? And suddenly the complaints went nowhere. But still, it's not meant for trying to stay on top of something.
No, it isn't.
It's meant for conversation.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's weird how it's different, and I don't, what would they give up if they tried to gain that Twitter share? Then there'd be too much stuff flowing by, I think.
You don't think people would post? So some of the things that I go to Twitter, if somebody's supposedly has died, I'll go to Twitter to see if they died. That kind of thing would make it to Google+.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. No, I think it's more that when you have...
Egyptian
100
uprising.
Bitcoin jokes are happening today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. You're not going to do that on these little snippets. I'm not going to happen.
But on Google.
Fine. The reason I like Google Plus is because the conversation is good.
Yeah. And you can see things like the fact that when you cry in space, the tears don't fall, they go straight out. That's the kind of thing. I'm not kidding, actually. Literally, this is the kind of thing I expect to see on Google Plus.
Is that the Canadian astronaut?
Yeah.
He's great.
I mean, this is cool. This is the kind of thing you see on Google Plus because it is more long form, more thoughtful. he's going to make himself cry by squirting water into his eye. I think they should just bite him or spank him or something. Get another astronaut to kick you in the rear end. Oh, in space, it looks kind of crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it just kind of sticks to the face.
You just got a ball of water under your eye.
A ball of water, like, clinging to your face. Look at that.
Burke now says he just snorted up his nose. It could be like that. Those French
your face
people
must have innate gravity to make it.
No, you know what that is? That's surface tension.
Ah.
It makes the surface tension of the water makes it turn into a ball. Really awesome. That's Google Plus right there.
That's
baby.
Right.
I'd love to have that
when it came out.
My
it's
lock
a place
screen.
To share.
Pardon
talk.
Me?
It's a place to share and talk.
It is much more conversation. Absolutely. Which it's funny. We were talking the other day about there's this new service called Branch. Branch.com. Yeah. That is Twitter-based conversation. It basically adds kind of a threaded conversation off to the side from Twitter.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, what happens is I'll get into an argument with somebody on Twitter, though I try to argue less these days, and somebody will say, hey, take it to Branch, because then you can invite people in and you can have actually more of a conversation in one place. The problem they have is that after I've already had the conversation, I don't want to have the conversation again.
Right.
They've got to solve that syncopation problem of when I feel like having a conversation with somebody, knowing to go into Branch to do it. And they just released a new design. And also Branch is partly backed by Ev Williams.
Right.
So Ev is meanwhile doing, of course, Medium. Medium just introduced a whole bunch of new collaborative tools.
It looks like Medium. Kind of that's interesting.
Yeah, they so ThinkUp's new office in New York is actually in the Branch Medium office. So we're going to be sharing space with them. We're sharing space with them. Yeah. So it's in kind of an open area, and they collaborate. And they're both backed by Obvious, right?
Right.
Obvious and BetaWorks and mm-hmm. so on. The others, a lot of parentage there.
Yeah.
And in both cases, you sign in with Twitter. So it's an interesting. Yep. See, I kind of understand what they're doing because. You know, one of the reasons I didn't like Twitter and I fled to Jaiku and Pounce and all these other places was I wanted threaded conversations.
Yeah.
And that would not have worked on Twitter and Buzz. And so this is a way of sideloading threaded conversations without impacting the main
also
Twitter.
Also, what's happening interestingly on Medium, you can comment on a paragraph in the piece.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So you're commenting directly on an idea, which is really, it's really cool.
I like
there.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw that
Weiner-esque.
There's an issue on Twitter. Half of the fake users on Twitter are now out of control. And this is where Google Plus is going. See, Justin Bieber, for instance, it's estimated has half of his followers are not real people, which kind of cuts back on the follower count a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a service, I forget the name of it, that will go in and estimate how many of your followers are fake. By the way, this just in, I think it's just in. Kleiner Perkins and Google Ventures are starting a Google Glass fund.
Ah, that makes sense. They've done that before.
Yeah, they have.
Didn't they do an iPad fund or an iOS fund?
Yep, I think so. Well, not Google Ventures didn't, but yes.
Yeah, Kleiner. I think Kleiner did. KP did.
Kleiner did, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Let's take a break. We're going to talk a little bit more. I'm just looking at this fake Twitter followers story. Bill Gates also. Has a lot of apparently half fake. The question
services,
is
that you can buy for $10. You can buy
that's the question.
Followers.
Are people buying them or is it happening because
the
spammers?
There's no benefit to that. The only possible benefit to that is to brag you have more. I can see some celebrities doing that to brag that you know they're
oh no, there's a huge benefit.
What?
Well, to celebrities in Hollywood, your Twitter, the number of people who follow you on Twitter is part of the deal, the contract. So it's you can get more money. For a movie, as a movie star, that's part of what you're bringing in. Yeah, I got 2 million followers. Rights. I could promote this movie, and they make much more money.
But Bill Gates doesn't care about how many followers he has on Twitter.
No, it doesn't help Bill Gates, but it helps Justin Bieber.
Bill Gates doesn't care, but it does help other people. Last time I negotiated my book deal, they offered me an advance, and I was like, hey, you know what? And I listed, my Twitter followers, Google Plus followers, different. And I was like, oh, okay, and I got more money. I mean, when you have that marketing power...
It gives you clout.
Yeah, it does. It does.
People all the time, they mention, oh, this person has 20,000 followers. They must be real.
Yeah. It is really, I think, a status symbol within the network.
I'll confess.
For better or for worse.
We have accreditation going on here, so I had to redo my CV. I put it on there. What the heck? It's just some monetization.
See?
It's kind of ridiculous, but I did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I felt re- ridiculous too during my negotiation. Like, I felt ridiculous because it really, because it is so easy to buy and fake and whatever. But it is a thing. It is a thing. It's some indication of one's reach.
Except that.
It's fake.
It's fake.
Same with likes. Likes are meaningless.
Yes.
Yeah. Someday we're going to look back at this era and say, what were we smoking? Seriously.
Well, part of this problem, I would argue, is that it's still a mass media mentality. Right? Look at the metrics that we have in media. Right. It's masses of unique users, page views. What do they look at that we made? And pretty worthless, those metrics. And so how many followers do you have? How many likes do you have? So what? But that's the way we measured media and value in media for all that time.
And those of us who, like here at Twit, where we pay less attention to raw numbers but more attention to the engagement of the people, we've actually produced results far beyond the numbers that mass media would embrace. In fact, it's one of the interesting challenges of selling the network is the numbers are low, but the results are high.
Quality. Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing is, Leo, that basically you on this show, on all your shows, you have what is now being trumpeted elsewhere as native advertising, right? That it's when you do a Ting ad and it's you talking it through, it's part of the product, it's part of the thing. It's exactly what people are trying to mimic.
Oh, that's so funny.
On all kinds of other media. Felix Salmon at Reuters had a really, really good piece this week about this and trying to look at whether or not so-called native advertising is scalable. And he argues it's not. But he also wonders whether that matters, because if somebody actually reads this thing that is on BuzzFeed, how much more valuable is that it happened to be, you know, but near their eyeball for 40 seconds?
Yeah, we've scaled it pretty well. I don't know how much more we're going to be able to scale it. Here's a funny picture. Mark Andreessen and of Andreessen Horowitz, and I don't know who these other venture capitalists are, all wearing glass. Mark Andreessen, when he wears glass, looks like he should be on Star Trek or something.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, the shape of his head is
he looks
exactly,
like Zippy the so Pinhead. This rests my case. I think the first thing they should invest in is somebody to make glass look less dorky.
That's John Doerr on the right.
John Doerr on the right? Okay. So these are big shot venture capitalists.
Yeah, you can say they're really committed to the platform because they took that portrait. Yeah,
that's committed.
That's how committed they
are to
the
committed
platform.
I don't see Kevin Rose wearing the glass. So at Google Ventures, Andreessen Horowitz, and Kleiner Perkins Caulfield & Byers, an investment syndicate. They don't say how much money they're throwing into that.
Yeah, so this could be...
Yeah, it could be.
I'd say it probably meant more when Kleiner Perkins on its own did an iPad fund than now there's Google Ventures in it, but still.
Jeff, good news. I just did a fake followers check on your Twitter account, and you're very good. This is, in fact, one of the highest percentages I've ever seen, 85% good. Is that amazing or what?
And the rest hate me. You know what I do? I report spam accounts like mad on Twitter because it is easy enough to do it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
We have like every once in a while Russians will retweet things from years ago.
Oh yeah, the Russians were taking over on Twitter like crazy about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was driving me nuts.
It's like they suddenly discovered. Gina, we're still doing it. It takes a while. It's socialbakers.com for the fake follower check. I'll do Gina, and when we come back, we'll tell you how fake Gina is, and then I'll do me, and then then I'll be all over. I know I'm. I think it's really a matter of the percentage goes up the larger you get, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And I think once you're verified, things get really weird because you get on the special Twitter verified list. And I think that, you know, that these fake accounts sort of glom onto that list as like, oh, these are celebrities and big shots.
Right.
And I'll follow them to make myself look legit, you know?
Right. It's some weird spammer thing. I never really did understand it. Mm-hmm. Hey, have you tried Hulu Plus yet? Oh, I love Hulu Plus. It's a way that you can, it's good. It's great for cord cutters, but even for people, in fact, somebody in the chat room is saying, I just use it as my DVR. It is a way to watch unlimited instant streaming of your current hit TV shows, your classic series, great movies, and it's on almost everything. It's on, of course, many smart TVs, but also Blu-ray players, gaming consoles, the PS3, the Xbox 360. It's on Apple TV. They have a beautiful Hulu Plus interface. The Roku, mobile phones, tablets. And you start watching on your Android device. Then you get home, you start watching on your Roku. It's going to pick up right where you left off. $7.99 a month with limited advertising. You can cancel at any time. But you can get 2 weeks free right now if you go to HuluPlus.com/twit. Not Hulu.com, but HuluPlus.com/twit. Or visit our website. If you go to twit.tv, the banner at the bottom of the page, click that link. You'll get the same deal. 2 weeks free of Hulu Plus. A great way. Yeah, right there. 2 weeks free. That's double the normal deal. Really great stuff on Hulu Plus. And it should be part of your overall cord-cutting strategy, my friends. HuluPlus.com/twit or visit the website. Click the banner and get going with Hulu Plus today. All right, Gina. Okay, now I'm going to do my fake. Wait a minute. Wait, we got Gina's first. 60% good.
Oh, that's low.
30% fake or empty, 10% inactive. No, I'm lower than that, though.
Oof.
I'm lower than that. I know. I'm almost 50%, I think. It's really interesting. Now, yeah. I don't know how they aren't real clear about how they determine fake followers. But see, you could see these are your fake followers. There are a lot of eggs.
A lot of eggs, yeah.
That's a giveaway.
I would love to know how they're doing this because fetching someone's followers is really hard when there are lots of them, right?
Yeah,
because,
you know about it, right?
Yeah, right. Because if someone has 300,000 followers, 200,000 followers.
They do a sample.
They do a sample.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think they've said
because
that.
Because when you request a list of followers, you get about 200 per page and you only get like 15 API calls per minute.
Right.
So like, you know, you're limited. It's got to be a sample. So then they must parse through that sample. That makes sense. So I wonder if it's a sample of your latest followers. Because
no, you wouldn't want to do that either, would you?
You wouldn't want to do that. It would have to be a random sample, which
right.
I don't think is too easy with the API off the top.
And if Twitter is clean, if they are pruning, which I think they are doing to a pretty great extent, isn't this going to be oscillating?
Well, I'll tell you, because I haven't done mine in months, but the last time I did it, I think it was 45% fake. I tweeted it. I can't remember. Yeah, it was a really high number. But I've been on Twitter a long time.
Yeah,
I have
and you
about
were
400,000
like,
followers. So
you were the most followed person on Twitter at one point, right?
You know when I was the most followed person on Twitter? When you could be that with 5,000 followers.
And that sounded amazing.
That's
at the
amazing.
Time. Yeah.
That is
and then
amazing.
Kevin Rose and I were in a race. A race to see who'd be number one. And then, like shortly after that, Ashton Kutcher joined and it was all over.
Yeah, basically at that point.
Boom. Blew me up.
Right. Ashton argued, like I know him firsthand basis, Kutcher argued on Howard Stern, basically, that Twitter should have given him more value for this. Like, they should have given some stock for making it.
They should have given me some stock for making it, but no. First year, I was Twitter. He was year two. Actually, Gina. It was all Gina's fault. So did you see this one? I don't know what to make of this. This came from an article. I saw it on Tech Dirt. They were referring to an article from, I got to find the original link. I like to tell people the original link. It's from Patrick McKay saying that Universal Music has an unusual deal with YouTube.
Yeah, this is scary.
Yeah, I bother the heck out of me. That... If they issue a takedown, this is from fairusetube.org, that's Patrick's site. If Universal Music does a takedown, they don't have to honor counternosis. They don't even have to give you the option to appeal. YouTube just takes it down. And he quotes an email received by a YouTube user named John. His name is YouTube account is Werner von Vollenrod, who posts reviews of old vinyl records. He had a 7-minute video reviewing an old Eric B. and Rakim record from the 80s, most of which is him talking about the record, but there are a couple of clips of him playing segments of the record. It's his opinion that that's fair use, but that's neither here nor there. He got an email after YouTube pulled it down from UMG's request. Hi there, this is from YouTube. Thank you for your counter notification. The complainant has reaffirmed the information in its DMCN notification. YouTube has a, quote, contractual obligation to this specific copyright owner that prevents us from reinstating videos in such circumstances. Therefore, we regretfully cannot honor this counter notification. And that's that. And then he points to the help page referenced in the email, which says on YouTube's site, nice Python script, YouTube enters into agreements with certain music copyright owners to allow use of their sound recordings and musical compositions. In exchange for this, some of these music copyright owners require us to handle videos containing their sound recordings in ways that differ from the usual process on YouTube. Under these contracts, we may be required to remove specific videos from the site, block specific videos in certain territories, or prevent specific videos from being reinstated after a counter notification. In some instances, this may mean the content ID appeals and or counter notification process won't even be available in the first place. There will be no appeal. We win, you lose, and even if we're wrong, there's nothing you can do about it. And I have to tell you, it happens to me so often that there are incorrect takedowns. NBC Universal, the sister company of this, did a takedown of one of our videos. I didn't notice for a long time, had no NBC Universal content. In that case, I appealed, and it was immediately reinstated. And if it had happened from UMG, it might be there'd be no appeal at all.
Gee, let's test it, Leo. Let's play a UMG song right now, huh?
Not on this show. Let's do it on a show with no ads. Because it cost me money.
Yeah. That's scary. That's evil.
Yeah, that's definitely evil.
And, you know, if it's true, if this is exactly as reported.
Well, it is. You can see that. I mean, this is a YouTube page. This is not some phony page. I'm reading directly from support.google.com.
This is to make Siva Vaidyanathan's argument. You know, he argues companies must be evil. And I disagree with that. But there's a grain of truth in the sense that Google deals with Verizon. Ergo, Google sells its soul on net neutrality. Google deals with music companies and says, please don't sue us. And it sells its soul, it would appear. I can't believe that anyone in Google thinks this is a good idea for the customers. And what happened with being customer first?
Well, doesn't it also raise legal issues? For instance, if there is a fair use defense...
But Google doesn't have to allow anything to go up or down. It's not like it's a free speech issue in a constitutional.
Well, no, but they might. No, of course not, because they're a private company. But might they not lose their DMCA harbor status, safe harbor status?
How so?
Because the safe harbor clause protects them.
Yes.
Because they're not a publisher.
Right.
As long as they adhere to the DMCA takedown process.
Oh, I see. So if they don't do appeals.
If they don't adhere, now I'm no lawyer, and we got to get Neelai Patel or somebody to explain this. But I wonder, and maybe not, but I wonder, would this not impact the thing that protects you in the DMCA if you don't honor the DMCA takedown process exactly as specified? Now, maybe it doesn't specify that there should be an appeal process.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is there hey, his chat room, is there an appeal process mandated under DMCA?
Be an interesting
wait
question.
For the answer.
I think there has to be.
No, I'm not sure there is at all. The point is that you mitigated your liability if you took it down. Period.
Right.
That's the DMCA process. Oof. I think the appeals process.
As long as you make it easy to take it down, who cares?
Right.
If it's real.
Right. That's the issue.
We get takedowns all the time from like Brazilian broadcasters and stuff. I don't understand. DMCA says you have the right to safe harbor as long as you don't exercise editorial control. You're a vessel.
I'm not so sure that's true either. That's a leftover of the and probably whoever El Khalif is saying, and there's a lawyer. But there's this commonly held belief out there from an old Prodigy case, that which the DMCA was actually the answer to. In the original Prodigy case, if you didn't touch any content, you were safer. Then once you made it an editorial control, then you became more liable. And Congress, in a rare moment of wisdom, realized how wrong that was going to be. Because what it would mean is no one would ever touch any content and they would just all leave crap up. So they had to leave the ability for you to take crap down and not suffer. They also had to leave the ability for you to have interactivity and have people put content up without you suffering. And that's where Section 230 came in, and that's where the DMCA tear out is. So it was actually an answer to that idea that if you touch it, you lose. That was what this was to cure.
I'm pissed off at Google because we're trying to hire people who live in Austin and they're never going to move to Petaluma now. Google Fiber, it's official. Next stop, Austin, Texas for that gigabit fiber. And AT&T says, yeah, we're going to do that too. Yeah. I don't know how much they'll charge. That's good. That's exactly what you want, right? Competition.
Yeah.
Yes.
So our good friend
in... fair. It's just not fair. Austin, Texas already has Southwest. It has good weather. It has good burritos.
In fact, I think we're going to move this whole channel to Austin, Texas. Woo, let's do it. I'd do
it. Tattoos for everybody. Sorry, Chad, I interrupted you.
No, I just wanted to mention your friend and ours, Brian Brushwood, lives 4 miles outside of the zone.
My evil plan.
But AT&T, have you, now then, AT&T he may be able to get AT&T fiber.
Well, AT&T, they didn't even say there was going to be consumer or business, is what the story I saw. AT&T just rushed to say, well, we can do this.
Sure, us too.
But they can. I mean, I could buy gigabit fiber right now if I'm willing to pay $1 million. Hey, you know what we didn't do, but we need to do?
That's right.
Because we're going to lose Gina in some 8 minutes or something.
No.
By the way, Brewster Kahle coming up in Triangulation, the man in charge of the Internet Archive, the guy who founded it. Really interesting character. But right now, it's time to play the trumpets and get ready for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
Boom, 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 boom. Ladies and gentlemen, with the Google Changelog, Gina Trapani.
We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to bring it up again. There's Google Play Store, a total new redesign rolling out to Android phones right now. It's got huge, beautiful images, huge icons, continuous scrolling. It looks amazing on a tablet. It's kind of like the best of the best kind of holo treatment that you're ever going to see. Simplified purchasing process. Started rolling out yesterday to Android phones and tablets running Froyo and above. So you should get it in the next few weeks. If you can't wait, you can find an APK kind of floating around. I believe it was Android Police that maybe published links if you're feeling like taking a risk. I did it. I got it. That APK worked just fine. It looks really, really nice. So new Google Play Store coming to Android. A couple iOS updates as well. Chrome 26 has dropped for iOS, the stable version. And I guess there are a couple, you know, security fixes, a little speedier. But the big new feature it has is that it lets you save any page you're viewing as a PDF and stores it in Google Drive, which is super, super handy. It also has built-in support for Google's Cloud Print service. So you can print directly from Chrome on iPhone or iPad.
All these things making the Pixel yet more valuable, wouldn't you say, Gina?
I would say, because you can get those PDFs anywhere you're logged into Chrome,
that's
whether you're
right.
Chrome OS or not. Also, we got an updated iOS app for Google Drive. Things just load faster, give you quicker access to editing. And if you're actually editing Google Drive documents on your iPhone, you can rotate sideways and edit in landscape mode down that this new update. And finally, Google Play Music has expanded to 7 more countries. This is the Android app and on the web. Google Play Music hitting Austria, Australia, Belgium, Ireland, Luxembourg, New Zealand, and Portugal. It's up to 20,000 songs in Google Play for free and stream to your devices for instant listening everywhere. I have to say, I've been using Google Play a lot more lately, and I love it. So happy to see that it's moving beyond the U.S.
How do you use it? You mean buy music on Play or you?
I have actually been buying. I've been using it just to listen to music on my phone a lot more. Just, you know, instead of kind of syncing the thing.
No, I uploaded everything.
I just uploaded everything exactly before I get on the plane or whatever. I pin the songs that I want available offline, or I just listen while I'm out. And I just find myself, instead of firing up iTunes or my big old library sitting on my hard drive, I just listen to Google Play even when I'm at my desktop.
Music.google.com. Say again?
I've been using it for TV shows like crazy. Oh, I've been traveling like a madman to India and Amsterdam and London next week. And I've been watching Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and all these things on my Nexus 7. And it's really, you know, just wonderful.
Yeah, I have to say, I tried out that knowledge graph, that little knowledge graph feature that we talked about last week in the changelog, where you can pause a movie. I was actually just looking at Transformers because they gave us Transformers last year at Google I.O. and the Nexus 7. It was a really cool feature. I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to buy more video from the Play Store, because I just like that I can say, hey, what song is this? What actor is this? What else?
The problem they have still is there's a limited the movie selection isn't as good as Apple's.
Yeah.
And
right.
The TV selection.
TV selection
is good. This is a case where you know you're going to use something like Hulu to watch more stuff, because there's simply more stuff there. But when you're on a plane, and like me, I fly on United, so I don't get any access. But you know, I've got tons of stuff on this thing, and it's great.
Right. Yeah. That's all I got today for the changelog.
Chad, where's the timpanis?
You usually say, and that's the
and
Google
that's
there you go.
The Google change log. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the cue.
It's my fault. My fault.
I'm gonna start boom, 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 boom. The chest beating.
By the way, Jeff, if this makes you feel any better, some strange person named Zach Cummer on CNN has given a rave review to the Chromebook Pixel. Just came out. A rave review.
Let's not talk about the Pixel anymore.
A rave review. He says, with the Pixel, I'm totally on cloud 9. If you're looking for a speedy, sturdy machine and are comfortable living in the cloud, the Pixel may be for you. Overall, I found this computer to be a refreshing approach to computing in the cloud, thanks to its high def screen and wicked fast computer power. My month
should
with
have
the
had
Pixel
the Jeff Rant and the Leo Wine
thoroughly speech. Changed my thinking on how a computer should behave while handling my files. He does say he's not crazy about battery life, which was terrible. Charging port gets unhinged with the accidental pull of the wire. I'm not sure I had that problem. And he doesn't like the fan noise. I'm wondering if Zach's ever used a computer, to be honest with you, but okay. It's got a fan.
Well, I got spoiled by the $249 Chromebook with no fan. It was quite lovely to never have noise come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have anything with an i5 in it, you're going to have a fan.
Yeah, and I got a fan. I don't like it either.
Yeah. And an i5 is not wicked fast, but it's okay. Nothing wrong with it.
You got to have the last word, don't you?
Yeah.
You just got to try things.
He says, up to now, Chrome OS computers have been inexpensive and fast, but Google has done something unexpected with the new Chromebook Pixel. I don't know who this guy is, though, so I don't know if I can trust him. No. I read that so you'd see that you're not alone, Jeff. You and Vance and this guy, Zach. Y'all love it.
We're going to get a room.
Get a room, you guys. Let's see. What else here?
What do you guys think of News Corp and now CBS threatened to pull their networks off
so
the
funny.
Air because of Aereo?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, speaking of whining, they need the Leo whining.
So apparently they're unclear on the concept of free over-the-air broadcast television.
Well, but here's the problem. That was when networks were forced to pay to get carried. I mean, when cable was forced to pay to carry networks, retransmission fees. That right there was ripping off every one of us in the country. There are airwaves. We give it to them for free. And in return, we get programming. That was the deal. And then along comes cable. It's not fair. Cable's making money. So they charge cable. But they're not charging cable. They're charging us, the viewers.
Right.
So if you still want to watch free over the air, last I checked, about 12% of Americans still watch TV over rabbit ears. And by the way, those are often poor people and old people. And CBS and Fox and NBC are trying to screw poor and old people. And they say they want to pull off programs and put them behind the paywall, which, by the way, what are they going to then put on? Worse shows? Even worse shows on their networks?
Don't they, in fact, have advertising on those shows? I mean, are they not making money?
Oh, it's
yeah, I don't get it. It's advertising is the business model, right? Well, you want distribution?
Well, no, Gina, that's the point. It's just like newspapers now. With so much competition, with so many other issues, no, they're counting on two revenue streams. They are now very dependent on this new revenue stream. The New York Times is more dependent on consumer circulation revenue now than it ever has been. Networks and local stations are now getting fees, consumer fees they never got before.
Right.
So no, it's not the majority of the revenue, but they're dependent on it.
So just to recap, Aereo, AEREO.com, a Barry Diller company, puts an antenna, a little tiny dime-sized antenna, for each and every person who subscribes up in the city you subscribe to. And then you can get over-the-air television over the Internet.
Of course, it's only available in New York City right now, but soon expanding to 22 cities.
They won a
big
court case recently, so they're expanding to other cities. I thought it was silly. I don't care about broadcast TV, but now I'm so pissed at these stupid networks. A, I want to subscribe to Aereo. I'm really going to do it. And then B, fine, FCC, take back our airwaves. We can make much better use of that spectrum. Only 12% of Americans watch this stuff. If we had a subsidy for internet connections for those people, that would be the end of broadcast. We don't need broadcast.
Yeah, what happens if Fox and CBS go cable only?
What does that mean? How do they do that? They still have broadcast channels. They still have to fill them. So, like I said,
they have a license. They have a license.
Put even worse crap on them?
Yeah, what do they do with their broadcast licenses? This is pure bluff. There's no way they do it. They can't. They can't do it. But it's an interesting thought. This is just bluster.
You're going to pay for the Mindy Project.
Some people would pay for the Mindy Project.
Mindy and her mom.
Mindy Kaling. No, there's people like that show. There's a lot of stuff on broadcast television that's not. Well, you can get it on Hulu.
That's
right?
Your pixel argument. Well, some people.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah, that's it. CBS is the Pixel Network. Not the
Tiffany Network.
Not the Tiffany Network. They're the Pixel Network. Good gossip. Neil Mohn, the Google's $100 million man, worth reading. I don't know how accurate it is in Business Insider. The story was, and I think it's pure gossip, that when Twitter tried to hire away Neil Mohn, who came to Google through the DoubleClick acquisition, that Google wrote him a check for $100 million cash.
And was it cash or was it stock?
Oh, maybe it was stock?
Stock, because it's now worth $150.
Yeah, it's worth $150.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Now, it's gossip. Yeah, according...
I'm always a little suspicious of anything in Business Insider.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Rosenblatt, the former CEO of DoubleClick and Google executive who joined Twitter's board in 2010, tried to hire Neil, and he was told that Google made Neil an offer much richer than the one the Knicks had just given Carmelo Anthony, and they paid him $65 million over 3 years. TechCrunch later said it was $100 million in stock. But Mohn's worth it, apparently, because apparently he's brilliant at advertising.
You always pay salespeople.
Pay the people who make the money.
Yep.
And I'm sure he makes Google. In fact, we know he makes Google more money than he costs them.
Yeah.
He runs the display advertising business for Google. And, of course, that's the core business. It's a good gossipy article. Just you know. Somebody said we need to bring ValleyWag back. I think it was Alexia Tsotsis or somebody said, we need ValleyWag. Because there's nowhere to put the good gossipy stories like that. Well, we got Business Insider.
We should have, you know what? We should have Henry Blodgett, who runs Business Insider, on the show.
I'm fascinated by him.
I am too.
I'm not sure I admire him, but I'm fascinated by him.
He's controversial in journalistic circles because he had a scandal as an analyst back in the day. But Henry's doing amazing work, I think.
He got thrown out of the markets by the SEC. Mm-hmm. They said you can no longer be an analyst because you jiggered the game. And he then created this very successful entity. Apparently, they're all standing up all the time, running around, filing like crazy. I'd love to just go look at the Business Insider offices and watch them work. And who owns them now? Who bought them?
Oh, no, nobody bought them. He just got a $5 million investment from Jeff Bezos.
That's what it was. Bezos just put some money into it. Yeah. It just shows, you know, this is the beauty of blogging. Any, you know, and I guess you could say new media. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And if you've got the energy, the stamina, the ambition.
The guts,
you can do quite well.
I think ValleyWag's still around. I think it's just a sort of subset of Gawker.
They still do occasional ValleyWaggy stories, yeah.
Yeah, they pursued the Arrington story, didn't they? I thought they were really
I have stayed well away from that story. I have no idea what the truth is in that matter. And I don't want to malign anybody.
I agree.
Fair enough. I just, you know.
But you're right. That's exact. I'm sure, you know, Alexia wrote that story, I think, at TechCrunch. Maybe not. But that is a perfect example of.
quite some time, actually, to actually write about it. I thought that that's what Valleywag was doing, saying, why isn't anybody else writing about that? Did Alexia actually finally write?
TechCrunch finally had to say something.
Yeah.
And I think
it was weird that they didn't for so long. You know, and Mike said something as well, but whatever.
Mike finally said something after TechCrunch said something, right?
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
People can ignore Valleywag.
You don't know what we're talking about, just go look it up. We don't really want to.
Just forget. It's hard to even know what happened.
And it's gossip.
It's very gossipy. Very, very gossipy. I think we should take a break and come back with our tools, our tips, our number. Any other big stories I'm missing here that you guys?
No, I see the amazing thing about Leo. One of your many, many talents is I'll think, man, we're taking forever to go down the rundown. Then I'll look and you've hit all the high points. You've managed to do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on. No time to make up with me now.
No, you're the one who has to make up with me, fella.
Oh, I was wrong. Okay. Okay. I'm glad Arthur Frommer got the Frommer brand back from Google, by the way. I didn't know that that's who bought it from Google, but I'm glad that he got his brand back.
That's cool.
Yeah. He must be 100 years old.
But Google kept the social accounts.
That's fine. Yeah. He's going to start publishing Frommer's guides again. I'm so happy. He's 83. Wow. Good for you, Arthur. Right on. His daughter Pauline is involved, I guess. Right on. I lived on those Frommer's guides. We talked about that, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did we mention Blink?
We talked about Blink last week.
Last week, okay.
Yeah, we did last week.
No need to talk about this week. All right. Let us move along.
You want? You might want to really quickly show Sergey's April 1st joke.
I love that.
Yep.
It on him.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes it forgettable, because I saw the image and thought that that was just his car, but that was an April Fool's joke, his staff.
So he owns a Tesla S. Or no, he owns a Tesla. Yeah, an S.
Yeah, Tesla.
Yeah.
That's
a
sedan. And without his knowledge, apparently, his staff wrapped it in pink, added a Batman logo, added very cool Batman wheels, aluminum wheels. And little Batman wings on the back. Imagine him coming out the door at the end of the day, and the Model S that he drove in that looked completely normal in the morning suddenly looks like a pink Batmobile.
I like the little chrome logo on the wheels. That's my favorite.
That is very cool.
On the hubcaps.
Yeah. That is a great April Fool. It does show you, though, that the April Fool's culture at Google is really out of control.
It is.
Get back to work.
We have a lot of time on our hands.
I love it. I think that's so cool. Chrome logos. That's the expensive part. The rest is just,
you know, it's funny. I wonder, I'd like to see a before and after, because his rims may have just been that.
Do you think he had chrome logos?
They said they were big ones.
Oh, really?
I love it.
That'd be a little much if Larry had chrome rims.
Well, and this is the guy who said looking at a phone is emasculating. Now, this is emasculating. Yeah. a pink Batmobile, that's emasculating.
It's Robin's car.
Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is not a law firm. No, LegalZoom's better than that. LegalZoom helps you do your legal business at your direction. They walk you through very easy to answer questions, generate documents like wills, patents, trademarks, and the big ones, the incorporation papers and the LLC papers. And if you're thinking, oh no, I can't trust my company to an LLC without a lawyer. Yes, I did. And it worked great. $99 plus the state filing fee, and you got an LLC. If you're starting a business, protect yourself. I understand when you're starting a business, you don't have the money for the white shoe law firm. $99 for an LLC or an incorporation, S Corp or a C Corp, trademark, last will. And you can do a last will and testament for $69. If you don't do a last will, the state decides what happens to your kids, what happens to your finances. Really, this is the way to do it. And by the way, this is a new feature of LegalZoom, and I love it. They have now a legal plan that lets you connect with an attorney and get advice. So it's not unusual. I came up with a couple of questions as I'm answering. Filling out the form. Delaware, California, for instance, that was a question. Would have been great to call a LegalZoom legal plan attorney. They have fixed rates. It's a low fee. And they give you the answers, and you can move on. It's really fantastic. You can even read reviews and profiles of the attorneys before you use them, so you get the one that you really like. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs and wills and trusts and trademarks and more. You can, too. Start your business. Protect your family at LegalZoom.com, not a law firm, self-help services at your specific direction. Or speak to a legal plan attorney and get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. To receive a special thank you for using LegalZoom through TWIT, we invite you to use the offer code TWIG, T-W-I-G, at checkout, and we'll give you $10. Yeah, just a way of saying thanks for letting them know you heard it on TWIG. LegalZoom.com. Figure out what you need and get $10 off and checkout when you use the offer code TWIG. It really is. I can't recommend it more highly. You need this kind of protection nowadays, but it's easy and it's fast and it's very affordable. LegalZoom.com. Time now, ladies and gentlemen, for Gina Trapani's tip of the week.
I am going to dash right after this, but I wanted to mention ThinkUp got accepted into the Google Summer of Code. And this is my tip this week, Google Summer of Code. This is for a awesome program for college students. I don't think just undergraduates. I think graduates, PhDs count as well. It's kind of basically the best summer job that you can get as a student programmer. Essentially, Google pays you $5,000 to hack on an open source project for the summer for 3 months. And you get actually assigned a mentor from the open source project. And there are some great projects that were accepted. In fact, we're really thrilled that we got accepted. We're in there with the likes of Twitter and WordPress and Mozilla. I mean, great, really, really great open source projects. There's 177 there that you can choose from. Anyway, we got accepted. I hope you'll check us out at blog.thinkup.com if you're interested in contributing our project or another project. It's a fantastic program, and student applications open on April 22nd. But between now and then, you should be kind of doing your research and seeing what kind of projects are available for these different organizations, and you get paid pretty good money for a really great summer job. And in fact, we did this, the competition is stiff. We applied 2 years ago and we didn't get accepted, but we did get accepted in 2010. And we mentored two students, and one of them was based in India at the time. He has since landed a job at Facebook and moved to the United States. So it's a really great and a resume builder and awesome summer job. So
Gina, hope to check question. Out Google, do they, Google Summer Code. Do the students get to pick the project, and does the project get to pick the students? Or are you assigned?
So students apply to as many organizations as they want and propose a project that they want to work on. And then the projects say, okay, yes, we have a mentor who wants to work with you on this. They say, okay, yes, we want these students. And then kind of Google helps match them up. Google uses a system doing this called Melange. It's google-melange.com, which is the whole system. If you just Google Summer Code 2013. So a student can apply for several different organizations, but they have to propose a specific project that they want to get done by the end of the summer. And you don't get paid unless you're done. And there are midterm grades. I mean, it's basically a full-time job. So your mentor sort of grades you, and you get paid in increments over the summer. So if you disappear, you basically got to ship something. So both of our mentees shipped like huge features, our installation That's wizard so great. and our maps plugin that are still like huge parts of the software, today, 3 years later. So with a smaller project like ThinkUp, you could have a really big impact. But with a larger project, you might get more experience, or there might be more mentors. So it's kind of up to you. See how much what kind of organization you want to work with. But it's a fantastic program, and we're really thrilled that we're in it this summer. I'm excited to mentor someone this summer.
Yeah, congratulations, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Great. Yeah. Thank you. All right, I'm gonna run, Lee. I'm gonna see you guys.
Thanks,
next
Gina.
Week.
Sorry to keep you a little longer than planned.
No problem. Take care.
I'll pay the overtime to the babysitter.
Bye.
Take care, Gina Trapani. Smarterware. .org, that's her blog, and of course thinkup.com is her app. Jeff Jarvis,
a mummy. Fast Company's design site has six ways Google hacks its cafeterias. One of these I think I've heard, which is that they used to have M&Ms hanging in these clear dispensers. They got rid of that. Now there's hard candy, so you got to work at the candy in opaque containers that you have to reach in. You have to go to an effort. It reduced the weekly caloric intake out of candy by 9%.
Wow.
Kind of cool. They also make desserts in small 3-bite portions.
Good.
So you have one, but it would be really piggish to go back and get two. But I like this one. When I was last there, or there one of the times, I wanted a bottle of water. No, no, you can't get a bottle of water at the time because there was a recycling issue. People were wasting only other things. I guess that's changed because according to this, they found that people were having too much soda. Hello, Mayor Bloomberg. So they moved the bottled water to eye level in the cooler. The soda has moved to the bottom. And the shift in placement increased water intake by 47%, dropping calories from drinks by 7%.
Only Google would do data-driven dining.
Bingo.
I love it. We got to do that in the Twit cafeteria. We go through quite a bit of soda.
We go through a lot of soda, but we don't really have eye-level refrigerators.
No.
They're all on the ground.
They're all down there. And we do have a water, you know, cooler you can drink.
I mean, it's actually pretty easy to get to the water cooler.
It's easier to get water here.
It is.
Yeah. I'll vouch for that. Or coffee. Easy to get coffee, too. That's because Jammer B brings it to me. Does he bring it to you, too?
I don't drink coffee. Okay. I can't. But John does bring me anything that I need.
We also have a soft serve ice cream machine.
That's true.
Hey, I didn't see that when I was there.
No, that's new.
It's new. Oh, 2 days old.
We added that yesterday. And we have, wow, for some reason, Lieutenant Uhura serves you. It's really cool. Jeff Jarvis.
You need to do a caloric analysis.
Oh, I don't even want to know. And people bring us, the sad thing is people bring us sweets all the time.
Yeah.
Pies, cakes, donuts.
Yesterday we had chocolate-covered blueberries.
Those are good from Saskatoon.
Ooh, and you didn't share.
I would. Should I mail you a blueberry?
No, it's
You know, today a guy came in with Icelandic yogurt. Smari Organics.com. It actually was really good. That was my lunch.
I want that just because of the name.
It's very high protein, low carb, low fat, Smari. Delicious. Didn't know this, but Icelandic yogurt is thicker than even Greek yogurt because they take out the waters or whatever, the liquids.
Speaking of Smari, this is way off topic. When I was in Amsterdam, I had to get makeup. My favorite thing is makeup there is schmink.
Schmink?
Schmink. I love that.
Go to schmink. Right? It's time to go to schmink.
You have to get your schmink on.
Get your schminking done. Jeff, let's kiss and make up. We're you and me. We're schmink. You get your pixel. No. I was wrong. I'm sorry. It scrolls fine.
The audience is too amused. I've gotten too many tweets saying, this is great. Let me be clear. I do not like the current world where people say, fight, fight.
I know.
And there's another piece I didn't do in the number of the week is somewhere in here that it says that we're ruder, that a fifth of people have given up friendships because of an encounter online. Leo and I love each other.
Right? Yes,
very
we do.
That. We're getting a room. We're happy. He has to sleep on the couch tonight, but otherwise, we'll be fine. But he's wrong about the pixel.
And Harry Blodgett retweeted. He said, say hi for me.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Financial Acrobat tweeted him, and Harry Blodgett said, oh, they're talking about me. We'll say, tell him hi. I'm busy filing 3 stories right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 11 a.m. I'm sorry, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC on twit.tv. Do watch live. We love it. We love it. But if you can't, you can always watch after the fact because we make on-demand audio and video available at our home site, twit.tv/twig, and wherever you can download podcasts. So subscribe. That way you'll get it every single week. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig.